Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mike Lenz VO podcast. My name is Mike Lenz. I'm an entrepreneur and a full-time professional voice actor and audiobook narrator. My goal is to share with you stories from some of the most amazing and inspiring people from all areas of the voiceover industry to help you achieve your dream of becoming a professional voice actor. So please leave me a review over on iTunes and join us over on the web at MikeLenzVOPodcast.com to be notified of each episode when it comes out. Now, get ready to be inspired. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Mike Lenz VO podcast. A quick shout out to my newest podcast patron, Dustin Craven. Part of Dustin's membership reward is that today's episode is a Dustin Craven and Mike Lenz voice production. If you want to find out how you can be part of my Patreon community, head over to patreon.com/MikeLenz. And check out the different membership tiers that include, amongst other things, a half hour or a 1 hour Zoom call with me based on your membership level. And also based on your membership level, you will get mentioned on a podcast and you might even be a co-producer, which is pretty cool. In addition, becoming a member will give you access to patron-only posts. I just did a video recently showing the behind the scenes of how I keep track of my narration billable hours each week. Another showing how I organize my audiobook recording schedule with spreadsheets and my coding system and some behind-the-scenes photos of my new studio remodel. And only my patrons get to see it. And when I reach my Patreon goal, I'll be recording special podcast episodes where I'll be interviewing my Patreon members. So head over to patreon.com/MikeLenz and check out the different membership levels starting as low as $5 per month to support this podcast and get access to exclusive content. Now, today's episode is sponsored by VoiceAmp and the Audition Ready online course. Head over to MikeLenzVOPodcast.com and click on the VoiceAmp sponsor link to receive a 30-day free trial of VoiceAmp. That's twice as long as the usual 15-day free trial period. So take advantage of that. I love VoiceAmp, and I use it on my website. It's a fantastic marketing tool in addition to being a great demo player. So check it out for free. Also, click on the Audition Ready online course link and enter promo code ML20 to receive 20% off Tim Tippett's Audition Ready online course. That's a savings of close to $100. Tim is amazingly gifted at cutting through the complicated tech side of VO, and he makes it easy to understand. He has helped me tremendously in my career, and I know he can help you too. All right, so check out both offers over at MikeLenzVOPodcast.com. And don't forget to sign up for my e-newsletter over at MikeLenzVoice.com. Just go to the bottom of the homepage and sign up for updates on my journey and the interesting things I'm learning along the way. And finally, if you haven't already, head over to Facebook and join the Mike Lenz VO Podcast Facebook group. That's where you can ask specific questions about each episode and interact with me and other members of the group. If there's something we didn't cover in this episode, you can let me know in the Facebook group and I can get you an answer, or at least I'll try. All right, on today's episode, my guest is Jessica Taylor. Jessica can be heard on television, on the web, and on the radio for projects large and small. She often books projects that ask for vocal qualities and deliveries similar to the sounds of celebrities like Kristen Bell, Rashida Jones, Tina Fey, Anna Kendrick, Scarlett Johansson, Emma Stone, and Jennifer Lawrence. It's quite a list. Jessica's clients include IBM, Coors, Brookstone, Amazon, Spotify, Lincoln, and New York Life, to name just a few. Jessica, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. This is so exciting. It's great to be here.
I know. I'm so glad we got to connect. We talk on social media. We've been talking about chickens and all that fun stuff about our life outside of VO. I'm so glad that we got a chance to connect and get you on the podcast.
So, thank you.
So welcome, welcome. So let's start by having you share with our listeners about your journey into VO. How did this all start? How did you get where you are today?
Where am I today? I don't know. I'm having a moment of like, am I being interviewed on a podcast?
I think so.
What have I accomplished? I mean, I've accomplished a lot. I guess I'm a full-time voice actor, and I did it like I basically started out full-time, which is kind of crazy to say. I got started really in 2017. And what is so funny, and one of the reasons I wanted to be on your podcast was because I wanted to share this with you, that this is like the biggest full circle moment for me, because when I got started, I live in Boulder, and I know just I have to mention the terrible tragedy we had here last week. It's been really a pivotal time in our small, Boulder's a really small place.
So anyway, I
felt like I needed to say something, acknowledge the fact that that happened as I tell you that I live in Boulder. So as I would drive from Boulder down to Denver to start taking voiceover classes, I listened to your podcast religiously. It's like an hour drive each way. And I listened to every single one. And then I started listening to them over and over again because I was like, there aren't enough. So, and now to actually be talking with you is so, it's so much fun. It's so cool that it's
that like is awesome.
Full circle. So I hope that's cool for you too. It's like,
oh my
it was
gosh, yeah.
Major inspiration for me listening to all the talent and learning and just like, you know, having that time to myself. I have three boys. So having that time to myself to like just selfishly listen and study and think about voiceover was so decadent. So I have a great association with you.
That's great. Yeah. And I imagine that it must be really, and I want to hear about your journey, but I think it's nice when you're in that position where like I've had to travel back and forth to New York City sometimes for different work that I've done. And when I get on the train, I feel this sense of relaxation where I'm like, I can just read a book or listen to a podcast because there's nothing else that I can possibly do.
Yeah.
And it's not that we don't love our children. We don't love our families. We don't love our lives. But sometimes it's nice to be someplace where you just don't have to do anything.
Completely. And I chose you during that time, Mike.
You know what? That is even more special.
So
I love that. So tell us about your journey.
Well, this story feels so convoluted to me to tell. So it just rein me in if I start rambling, and I want to try and keep it succinct. But it all started at birth.
Oh, gosh.
Just kidding.
All right, let me rein you in.
Okay. Yeah. Pull me in there. So in middle school, I started doing lots of theater. It was theatrical, theater, singing, mostly musical theater, choir, band, everything and anything and everything creative. That developed into a love of speech, mostly doing theater in high school, like, you know, to the point where one of my jokes is that I never took chemistry. And all my friends would be like, why aren't you taking chemistry? I was like, I don't know. I read the book and apparently I don't have to take it. It doesn't say you have to take chemistry to graduate. And I was like, and that means I can take another acting class. So I don't know anything about chemistry. And then in my senior year of high school, I flunked. It's the only class I ever failed. I failed physics because I was Eliza in My Fair Lady. I mean,
there you go.
What? Physics had no relevance to me.
None whatsoever. None I can imagine.
So didn't take chemistry, failed physics, only class I ever failed. Really, that's, yeah. So
that's great.
And then I was going to I wanted to get a BFA in acting after high school. So I auditioned for all kinds of top shelf programs and was accepted at great schools. But unfortunately at the time, my parents were getting divorced. And there, you know, these schools were so expensive and there wasn't the money for me to do that, basically. So I kind of let that piece go. And I was like, that's okay. I'm still going to pursue theater. I went to massage school because I wanted to be able to earn good money in a short amount of time to support so that I could, you know, spend time auditioning and rehearsing and performing. So I did that. Met a guy, a boyfriend at the time. He was a chiropractor. I was a massage therapist. We made a great duo, actually. And from Minnesota, that's where I grew up, we moved down to Denver. That was when I came to Colorado in 98. And I immediately started doing theater. And I have some kind of funny claims to fame. One is that, well, in high school, I was in theater with Maria Thayer, who is now I would say famous actress. She was on Strangers with Candy. She's been on lots of late night comedy shows. She's kind of like an improv sketch artist. And so that's one of them. And then when I was in Colorado, when I moved to Colorado, I played Amy in a musical adaptation of Little Women. And I played post-pubescent Amy, and prepubescent Amy was played by Annalee Swanson, who is now known as Annalee Ashford, who is the Tony Award-winning actress in Sunday in the Park with George. So she was like 11 years old at the time, and she and I both together played the role of Amy in Little Women the musical.
That's awesome.
Kind of a fun story. Whoops, sorry, I just touched the thing there. Continued with theater. I ended up being cast at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts, like the only person who had ever been cast locally for, who wasn't cast out of New York and LA. So I was an understudy in Much Ado About Nothing. And that's kind of where I started to meet different people in the theater community, like more regional talent, talent who are coming in from the coasts. And I started paying attention to the classes everybody was taking. And there was a voiceover class. And I was like, what in the world is voiceover? So I took the class and I remember getting a piece of copy and it was four words. And I had my Walkman. That's how we recorded our takes. Everybody, okay. We were like, yep. You know, in a big room, all at tables, and everybody had their Walkman and someone would pass out the copy and four words. And I was just like, what? I had no idea what to do. I mean, it was so, it's such a different skill from being on stage.
Isn't it crazy how unique it is?
It's such a unique skill set. And there's really nothing that translated from, you know, doing Shakespeare on stage to four words about a car. I was dumbfounded. So at that point, I really didn't continue with voiceover because I was kind of like, I don't really get it. I don't get it. But I was intrigued also. I was like, this is a really different kind of challenge acting wise. So I continued doing theater. And then I ended up opening a spa from my massage work. So I was I've always been a very strong entrepreneur. And my massage business had really taken off. So I decided that I wanted to hire employees to work for me and have I had a training center in Denver where I taught massage therapists from around the country how to give massage with their feet. I actually trained one of Willie Nelson's daughters how to give massage with her feet. And I have
cool.
One of her CDs because she's, of course, a musician. So I took that business for about 10 years and I had really managed myself out of it to the point where I was home with my kids, which was that was my goal ultimately, was that I wanted to have a business that was kind of running itself while I would be able to be home with my kids and I could manage it, you know, virtually. So I had gotten the business to that point, but then September 2008 happened. Mm. And I'll just say massage was essentially the first thing to go from everybody's budget. So I took it as a sign. You know, it was a really tough time, actually. It was really sad. I mean, I had worked really hard at this business. And this is going to tie into voiceover, so just hang on. Mm-hmm. So I decided to close it at that point and stay home with my kids, which I did for 10 years. During that time, we moved overseas. We lived in Prague for 4 years. And then in 2016, we came back to Colorado and we moved to Boulder. And I knew that it was time. My youngest was turning 6 and I was like, he's going to be in school or in more programs coming up. And I knew that I was on the threshold of what's next for me.
Sure.
Personally and professionally, because I was really excited. I love being home with my kids and I'm really thankful for that time that I had with them. But I was also like really itching to do something creative again. So I had these criteria. I was like, whatever I do, it has to be creative. I need to have my own business again. It needs to be entrepreneurial because I absolutely loved the marketing behind having my own business. And I had gained so many skills from having my own business for those years. So, and I also wanted to be able to make some really solid money in a short amount of time, which that's been a theme in my life too. Like, how can I maximize my earnings in a short amount of time so that what I do supports the lifestyle I want to live, mm-hmm. rather than my job being the lifestyle, you know, and then fitting my life in around what's left.
Right.
So it was kind of a tall order, I guess. And I mentioned it to my mom, And she said, you know, I have a friend of my boyfriend. She's an audiobook narrator. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. She goes, do you want to meet her when you come up here this summer? I was like, yeah, why don't I, let's, sure. So I went and met with her. And I have to say, this woman, she set me up just in her generosity. And it was like my first taste of the generosity in voiceover. Like, I was so overwhelmed at, she had prepared this, she had prepared a document for me, all of the, don't go to any of these companies, avoid all of these demo producers. You know, if you find this program, ignore it. You know, it was like, I feel like I got so lucky to have been started out on the right foot immediately. And she kind of gave me a picture of what her day was like. And, you know, oh, I come in the morning and I go through my emails and there will be auditions and some I'll want to do. Then I'll have some jobs that I'll do. I'll record the jobs. Then I'll do some marketing. And I was just like, it was like bells and whistles in my head. I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. And at the time, I didn't really realize the income potential of voiceover. I had kind of ignored that part of my, you know, three-pronged plan because everything else was so great. I was like, this is like a little creative outlet I could have in the house. You know, like I can come up and record some auditions. Then I can go downstairs and do laundry and do some schoolwork with my kids. And it was just like I was so taken away with the whole thought. So I came back to Colorado after that trip and I went gung-ho. Like, I immediately contacted Tia Marlier. I don't know if, do you know Tia?
I don't know.
Well, that's okay. It's okay.
I don't think so.
She had been a massage client of mine while I had my business, and I met her on a corporate shoot, on an on-camera shoot. And so I had known her for like 15 years, and I knew that she had done voiceover, and she would listen to my voicemail messages for my massage company. And I remember during that time, she would say to me, Jessica, whenever you're ready to get started in voiceover, you just let me know. And I was like, I would just kind of giggle at her. I'd be like, it's just a voicemail, Tia. It's nothing. She was like, so I get back home and I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to contact Tia. I sent her an email and she said, well, so funny you should be in touch with me because I'm actually an agent at Go Voices now. And I was like, oh, really?
Perfect.
Yeah. So I said to her, well, great. I just want to start coaching. I want to start coaching with you. And I just want to coach a couple times a week and we're just going to do it. And you just tell me when I'm ready for a demo. And like, that was my only expectation. I just want to get better. I want to see what it's all about. I want to get familiar with the different genres and see where you think I might fit. So we coached for about 6 weeks and she's like, I think you're ready for a demo. And I was like, okay, great. I mean, I really trusted Tia. She is a fantastic person for anybody to get in touch with who's getting started in voiceover. She's kind and gentle, but also really, you know, picky in a great way, gives great direction. She's been a talent. She's been an agent. Her website is vopeptalk.com. And I adore Tia. So she basically helped me produce a demo here in Boulder. And I had never recorded a job. I recorded a commercial demo and a corporate narration demo, and I sent them to Go Voices. And actually, during this time, Tia then moved on from Go Voices because there was nothing wrong. She just decided that being an agent wasn't for her. It was, you know, voiceover talent we tend to enjoy our flexibility.
Yeah.
And so she was having a hard time with 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So she stepped aside and went back to being a talent and coaching exclusively because she discovered that was the part that she really liked the most about being an agent was giving feedback and helping people improve.
Mm-hmm.
So I submitted my demos to Go Voices. They asked for an audition and they signed me. I had not booked a job yet. I hadn't done a job professionally. So I was just like, it just kind of felt like, you know, an avalanche coming down the mountain, you know, like it was just, everything was just happening. And I just felt like I was doing the right thing at the right time for me. And just like, it was just meant to be, you know, like, I don't like to take credit, like, oh, I'm amazing. I just think that it was more like something that had just been brewing, like in the background in my life for a long time, like all of the things that I had done kind of culminated in this field. And it was just so perfect for who I am and where my strengths are.
Yeah. Well, you think about what you had gone through early in your life and in your adult life. You know, you were performing, you were acting, you were learning all that creative side of it. And then you got that whole business side of it, which I talk to people a lot on this podcast. And, you know, having run a brick and mortar business for almost 30 years, having that background is so important when you start to go through the process of beginning your own small business or a different small business. So yeah, I mean, when you're telling me that story, that's exactly what I was thinking to myself. Man, Jessica had this beautiful combination of the creative side, honing that skill, and then combining it with understanding how to run a business. And you put those two together and it's like, boom.
I know. I think sometimes I feel regret because I didn't discover this. I didn't continue it when I was in my early 20s. You know, it's like, oh, like, what did I, where could my career be now? What did I miss out on? But I also realized that if I had not started and run that business, I would never have been able to do this the way I have in this short amount of time, because right. I just wouldn't have had the business background is so important.
Yeah, it's critical.
It's equally important as the talent and the skill and everything else. So when that happened, when I signed with Go Voices, then I started getting auditions and I would look at the pay and I was like, oh my God, and you can also make a lot of money in a short amount of time. Like I had just kind of forgotten the money thing because I just loved it so much. I was like, kind of like, geez, I love this. It's okay if it's not like, you know, this big money maker. Well, it actually turned out to be.
Yeah.
So it's just
you see those usage fees and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Right. And the second job I booked with Go Voices was a 3-year national campaign with Nature Made.
Wow.
Big, big money.
Yeah.
And I told my husband about it. Now, I stayed home for 10 years. So my husband, he's an IT professional. He does very well for us. But this day, I went into his office and I had booked the job, and I was in tears. I couldn't believe it, and I just said, I need to go record tomorrow. And he's like, oh, I've got meetings. I've got this client thing coming up. You know, I'm supposed to leave on a trip the day after. And I said, Brent, I'm going to make $40,000 tomorrow. And he looked at me and he goes, okay, I'll work it out.
Let me move a few things around. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, all right. No problem. Let me see what I can do. And it was like,
wow.
You know, so it was just like, it was such a pivotal moment. Like, for having been someone who had stayed home for 10 years and really relied on my husband's income, to like have this moment of like, yeah, someone wants me to work for them for about 4 hours for $40,000.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, a different level of like self-gratification. Yeah. It felt really good.
Yeah. I mean, the door opens up and you're like, oh my gosh. And,
yeah.
You know, and I certainly... You're not saying that, you know, voice actors make $40,000 a day.
No.
But that was an amazing eye-opening experience for you to say, wait a minute. This is not, you know, this could be something big.
I've got it.
And when you look at things like that, like a national campaign, you understand the competition that you were up against.
Well, you want to know what's interesting is that I didn't understand the competition I was up against because I didn't know the industry that well. I didn't know it until I talked to Tia about it. And she said, do you realize that went out to that was, I think it was cast by Sound and Fury. She said mm-hmm. they probably listened to at least 1,000 auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, now I get those auditions and, you know, it's kind of dumb because I a little bit roll my eyes like, oh, okay, I'll try. But then I say to myself, hold on, you booked one of these ones, you know, like why? But now I understand that competition. Before I really didn't. You know what I mean? It was kind of like it was just ignorance was bliss.
And yeah. And it probably helped. It was to your advantage in the sense that if you knew it was a $40,000 job, you might have gotten so nervous in your audition that, you know, you might not have gotten it. Who knows? You know, you were just going in there and you were going for it because you didn't know any different.
What's interesting is I go back and if I re-listen to that audition, which here's a great tip from Tom Pinto that I adopted. Any winning audition, any audition that booked me a job, I keep a folder on the desktop of my computer and I put it in there. Mm-hmm. So I have a folder of all of my auditions that have booked me jobs. And it's great to listen to those sometimes when, you know, you haven't booked something in a while.
Right.
So, but I go back and listen to that audition. And I think it's when I listen to it, there's a quality in it that I hear that I think I understand when I hear from creatives when they say, we want someone who doesn't sound like a voiceover artist. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't had a ton of coaching yet. And so, and this the direction was like enthusiastic, over the top, full of life. And if I had gotten that same audition today, I'm fairly sure I would approach it completely differently.
Yeah.
You know, it would sound different today.
Well, you approached it as somebody who really, for all intents and purposes, wasn't a voice actor at
kind
the time.
Of.
You hadn't booked anything yet. You had been doing the coaching. You were preparing yourself.
Yeah.
But you were coming at it from the perspective of the every person who wasn't the VO that's cranking out, you know, 20 auditions a day, because that wasn't you at that time.
It wasn't yet. No, not yet.
So you were that tabula, what was it called? Tabula rasa? Tabula rosa?
I don't know what that means.
The blank slate. It's Latin for
blank slate.
Blank slate. You were just
like
open
that.
To anything. You just went in and just did it.
I mean, so I went in and recorded that job the next day, and I learned everything on the job that day. I'll just put it that way. Because I had only done one small studio job before that. So this was like my second in-studio job. The first one was a short 30-second commercial. This one was like a whole day, you know, 4 or 5 hour session.
Yeah.
We were recording 20 some pre-roll spots.
Yep.
So it was a big day. But I remember them saying the creative guy going, okay, let's do an ABC on that. And in my mind, I was like, yep, don't know what an ABC is. I didn't say that. I was like, it must mean I do it 3 times.
you did it. You figured it out.
I figured it out. I mean, but the feedback I got was fantastic. You know, they had me coming back and re-recording. I mean, we added like 4 or 5 more spots over the next year. Everything went well. They kept using me. But it was just, it was intense on the job training that day. I'll put it that way.
That's pretty impressive that you figured it out. I know. I love that Christian Lanz has a story where he was doing an on-camera audition. He'd never done one before. And he walked in, the guy's like, have you checked your sides? And he was like, he actually literally went to feel his ribs. I think that there was something wrong with his ribs. And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And they're like, okay.
They feel good. Thanks for checking.
My sides are good.
But
you figured it out. You figured it out. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a very, very quick break. I want to get back. We're going to talk about some other things that have been going on in your life, in the VO world, and also in life in general. But we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back in just about 2 minutes. Hey, everybody. I just want to talk a little bit about the sponsors of this podcast. The first one is VoiceXam. My friend Bob Merkel has a great product. You guys know if you've listened to this podcast, I've been promoting it for a while because it works fantastic. It not only is a web-based demo player where you can stack your demos so that when you're sending them out to clients or people come to your website, they can easily click through and listen to your demos. They don't have to scroll through an MP3. They can actually see them stacked on top of each other. Great feature. And also you can use it as a marketing tool. And there's so many different ways that you can use it. And I use it all the time. So go over to voiceam.com and schedule a conversation with Bob Merkel. And also, if you go to the Mike Lenz VO podcast website, about halfway down the homepage, you'll go to the sponsors and you can click on that link and you'll get a 30-day free trial. Now, regularly, it's a 15-day free trial, but if you click on the Mike Lenz special deal, you're going to get an additional 15 days for free. All right, so check that out over at voiceam.com. Also want to talk about my friend Tim Tippetts and his Audition Ready audio course. You can go over to his website at votechguru.com or go to the link on my website at themikelensvopodcast.com. And you can go down to the sponsor link, click on that, and type in ML20. You'll get 20% off of Tim's course. That's, I believe, almost a $100 savings. So you're going to want to check that out. A fantastic course that teaches you about the technical side of what we do, which is equally important as the creative and talent side. So check that out as well. So again, I want to thank my sponsors, the VO Tech Guru and the Audition Radio Audio Course, as well as my friend Bob Merkel over at voicesam.com. All right, thank you so much. We'll get back to the show now. Okay, everybody, welcome back. I am here with Jessica Taylor, and Jessica's been sharing with us her journey into the VO world, and really cool, or nice blending of the creative side and the business side, and then getting the training, really trying to understand the industry, and then some really amazing early success in your career to get started. But I'm sure there must have been and have been over the course of your career some obstacles, some hurdles that you've had to overcome. What were some of those things? And more importantly, what are some of the lessons that you learned from them?
Okay. Well, you know, there can be, it's tough starting out at such a high level. I'll just say that because, you know, typically a career kind of builds to something like that instead of starting out with something like that. So, you know, there was a period where, you know, I was excited to record a voicemail for $100.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, talk about extremes, from one extreme to the other. Because I've had people ask me, well, how much do you make doing voiceover? I'm like, well, that's a really, I was like, well, one day I made.
What month is it?
Yeah, what month, what is, month it? Is it? I said, well, yesterday I did a voicemail for $100. You know what I mean? Like a single office. So I think it's the swings are a serious obstacle. You know, like, you know, and I've said to myself during that time, like, oh, geez, did I just get lucky? Am I really good at this? Or did I just kind of win the lottery? So that took a while. And it just took time for me to see myself booking more work, getting other big campaigns and going, okay, I am good at this. There's a sound that people want from me that I clearly fit. But yeah, those swings were kind of, they just like really shake your confidence.
That's interesting because I never would have thought of that perspective, but that's such a cool perspective because yeah, you had early success. I mean, really, you know, significant success because that's a big number for anybody at any level in their career to land a gig like that. So to get that right out of the box, yeah, I guess that can kind of mess with your mind a little bit because you're like, okay, this next job wasn't $40,000. What's up with that?
Right. And typically most are somewhere in between. So
yes.
The 100 is just, you know, crazy, crazy extremes of voiceover. But it's also one of the things I love about voiceover. I love the variety. I didn't work any less hard on that voicemail for $100. It didn't mean any less to me. Like I still wanted to do my best job, you know? So, and I think that's part of how voiceover, you know, people who love it, it's because you just love doing the work.
Well, that's the performance piece, right?
Yeah.
That's the actor in us, the creative in us. And, you know, I've had situations where I've done audiobooks where it was a book that maybe wasn't for a big publisher or it was a shorter book. And you have to remember, and PJ Oakland had a great comment, and his piece of advice last month was, you know, commit, don't comment. He's like, you know, once you agree to do a project, you have to commit to doing it to the best of your ability. And in the audiobook world, sometimes you'll get books that you're like, oh, I'm not really excited about this book, but you have to commit to it. And I think that's true because as artists, we want to commit and you'll go back and you'll kind of get feedback saying, okay, the author, or they want you to do it a little bit differently, or wanted to put a little bit more emotion in this scene. And then you go back and listen and go, you know what? I didn't do that as good as I could. And then you go back and you do it better and you hear it and you're like, ooh, yeah, that's it. That's the read. That's the one I was supposed to do. And it does, it does take effort when we do this all the time, every day, to make sure that we're really bringing our best performance to the work that we do. It's draining. You know, it can be draining for sure.
Yeah, I think having those wild swings early on, because then I kind of went right to, you know, where most beginners start, you know, booking work, but, you know, going, geez, I mean, how many auditions have I done since I booked something, you know, mm-hmm. and it's that black hole of not hearing anything either from an audition or from marketing touches with people. And that gets really just, oh, it just feels so heavy. You know, like in that beginning time when you're just getting no feedback of any kind on a right. on a regular basis, nothing to kind of construct how you feel about the work you're doing, or knowing where you're at or if you're progressing. And actually, one of the things that helped me with that was getting a CRM, because just seeing that a person I've reached out to has opened an email a couple, two, three times, even though they don't respond to me, was the greatest form of feedback, and like kind of gave me a little bit of a motivation to like, okay, people are, they're seeing when I reach out to them, they're reading the email. Oh, they're looking at it again. You know what I mean? So yeah. Even though they're not responding, I know that I have their attention.
Yeah. Mentally you know, it's not just going into a black hole where like, what, anything, anybody,
is anything, are
you
reading, happening?
Anybody listening to me? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can actually track it, and it's all about control, right? It gives you some control over your career, control over your marketing efforts, so you can at least see something on a screen that tells you, okay, this is working, this isn't working. At least I'm making contact with this person, and you know, we never know. I just literally got done doing an audiobook called "I'll Get Back to You," and how we as human beings are designed instinctively to need to close loops. We don't like unclosed loops because we need, that's a survival instinct for us. So when you send a text to somebody and they don't text you back, then your brain has to close that loop. And oftentimes we will close the loop with the very worst case scenario.
Yes.
Right. My son or daughter didn't text me back. Oh my gosh, the train crashed and they didn't get back to New York City. Right. So that we close the loop with the worst case scenario. So if we send an email off, you know, or an audition, or reach out, do some marketing effort and get no response, then we instantly go to the worst case scenario. They hate me. They'll never hire me. I'll never get another job again.
Yeah.
It's just human nature.
That's interesting. Yeah. So that's been helpful. CRM. Yeah. It's great. The thing, so right now I'm really working on consistency, and it's really happened. COVID, ironically, was kind of great for my career. Mostly because I wasn't driving kids all over the place. So my availability skyrocketed.
Sure.
Like, are you available? Of course I am. What else would I be doing? I'm home.
Whenever you want me.
Yep. Whenever you want me. Yeah, I discovered early morning sessions are my favorite because my kids are still sleeping.
That's when I do all my recording in the morning. The bulk of my recording is done between 8 to 10 in the morning.
Oh, really?
Because everybody's asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody. I recorded, I had a session this morning at 8 a.m. I was recording a tag on a national commercial. It took 20 minutes. And I was like, you know, you guys sleep.
I'll take care of it. It's great. I love it. So let's talk about something outside of VO that we both have in common.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool. Do you want to say it, or do you want me to say it?
The yard jewelry.
Our cute but not very intelligent chickens.
Yes. Oh, those sweet girls.
Isn't it amazing? So yeah, Jessica and I both own chickens.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I think we even first started communicating on social media, was commenting on some pictures of chickens or eggs.
Pretty girls. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of I know for me, it's a nice hobby to have. It's definitely a nice diversion, and it's definitely nice to get these beautiful golden eggs.
Oh.
So what led you guys to get chickens? Was this your decision, your husband's, the children's, all the above? How did you guys make that decision?
It wasn't my husband's. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
Oh, no.
No?
No. He doesn't like things with wings, but he does like their eggs. So that's good.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But my kids, we lived in Prague, and it was very common for people to have chickens there. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't even know how to, what to relate it to, but it's just something people do there. It's like part of life. It's like, well, yeah, you want eggs, you need to have some
chickens.
You know, some chickens. So when we came back home, I was like, yeah, we got to do that. We got to do that. And my husband went on a trip, business trip, and he came home and we had 4 pullets in the house.
Love it. Love it.
We had talked about it briefly, so he knew it might be coming, but yeah, he was a little surprised. We didn't even have a coop. I just went and got the because they had to be in the house for
like 5 weeks.
Six to eight weeks. So I was like, you know what? And this is sometimes how I roll. I like to get myself in a situation first and then I figure everything else out.
Yeah.
So I bought the girls and then I was like, okay, I guess we should get a coop. Mm-hmm. So I kind of reverse engineer sometimes.
Perfect. Love it. My wife said to me, I remember I talked about chickens for a year before we got them. And she's like, look, you can get chickens, but you and the kids are going to take care of them. I'm not going to have anything to do with it.
Right.
So I'm like, fine. And then about a month ago, my wife said, so I think we should get 4 more chickens. So we're going to have 8 in about a month.
Oh, my gosh.
4 to 8. So she has definitely come around to the whole chicken idea. Because she likes the eggs.
Oh, they're great. So the first time we got pullets, and then we got 2 more right when the shutdown started. It was the very end of March. We got 2 2-day-old chicks. Mm-hmm. And we did not know this shutdown was coming. It was just school was kind of closed and we didn't really know what was happening. But it turned out to be the most fantastic, like serendipitous thing we could have purchased
the whole shutdown.
So we had these adorable little chicks in the house, and even though the world was scary and unsure, like, we just had these adorable chicks, and they're great. So they just turned a year old. Yeah, my first Buff Orpington, and she never stopped laying all winter. She's the only chicken I've had who hasn't stopped laying in the winter.
Yeah, you told me that. I think you told me that on social media. And I remember that we have 3 new girls and 1 older girl. And the 3 girls laid all the way through the winter as well, which is amazing because you're in Colorado. I'm up in upstate New York.
Yeah. You know, would think I have even more daylight. Huh.
I was very pleasantly surprised. They didn't produce as much as they're producing now, but they didn't stop ever all the way through the winter. And those of you that are listening, because this is really important VO knowledge for you to understand, is that chickens in the wintertime will stop laying often because they're using all the protein that they would normally use to make eggs to stay warm, number one. Number two, they don't have enough sunlight. So that the sunlight triggers a hormone that causes them to lay the egg. So that's your chicken lesson for today, all my listeners. So typically you're not going to get a lot of eggs in the winter, but because the girls are a little younger, because our girls are similar in age, they're a little more prolific in their egg laying capabilities. So I think that was probably the reason why. But that's great.
Well,
but
I don't
now
know.
They're cranking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is the golden time. This is the time when it's so amazing to have them and to be outside gardening, and they're running around after you when you're digging in the dirt, and you know, they're pecking all the worms, and it's so much fun. And it's just and the grass is green, and you sit out and eat dinner outside, and they're walking around so pretty. And
it's really a wonderful, it's the gateway drug to owning backyard animals. But they're the best pet in the world because they're very easy to take care of and they give you food.
Yeah.
What other pet gives you food?
I know. Our eggs
that's
are
actually
are
edible.
Glorious.
We love it. So that's awesome. So listen, we're coming up on the end of our time together, Jessica.
All righty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up. Really
okay,
fast.
Thanks.
So before we wrap up, what do you think if you were hanging out with an aspiring voice actor and you had to give them just one single piece of advice, what do you think that would be?
Well, you know, when I tell people my voiceover story, if they're interested in voiceover, sometimes I don't like telling it because I don't want it to sound discouraging, like that I had this crazy success right away, because it's not usual. And what that brings me to in terms of a single piece of advice is don't compare your journey to somebody else's, because they are all so different. And that is something I've struggled with too. You know, it's interesting you talk about Christian Lands, because I read a post of his the other day, and he's talking about, you know, how he has a career that he developed completely only from agents and managers. He's never been on a pay-to-play. I don't think he markets directly. Everything he does comes through an agent or a manager. You know, and I had a moment of like, oh my gosh, you know, am I doing well? Or is that the career I should aspire to? Or,
right.
You know what I mean? But truthfully, you really can't compare.
No.
Natasha Marchevka, I took her VO master to-do list before I really even had a reason to have a to-do list in VO, but I was just so excited. I was taking anything and everything. Same time I was listening to your podcast and driving down to Denver taking classes. And I took her thing and she was like, what's your goal? And I was like, What is my goal? And she said, well, my goal is to make a full-time income in part-time hours. And I was like, yep, that's my goal too. That sounds perfect.
Perfect.
And that's what I've done. So, you know, you can't compare your journey to somebody else who may have a completely different goal in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is full-time income in part-time hours, and I've done it. And everybody has a different path to achieve what it is they want to achieve.
And you not only you had that early success, and as you said, there are ups and downs, and you kind of go through the roller coaster of what it's like to be a freelance voice actor. But just this past year, you were one of the Voquent top 20 voices for 2020. So I want to make sure I mention that because that, you know, that's a testament to any question you may have about, I had that early success, but am I really a successful voice actor? There you go. One of the top 20 voices. So kudos to you for
that. Well, thank you. They are really sweet, sweet people.
They are. And you are an incredibly talented voice actor. And I'll tell you that that comparison thing is so important to people, because I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people that would ask me about how to get started in VO. And there's nothing wrong with being inspired by other people in the industry, because that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. So when I listen to an audiobook narrator that I admire, and I listen in my headphones, and I'm not only listening to the story, but I'm listening to the way that they read that story, how they narrate it, what their inflections are. Not that I want to be that person, but I know I can learn from that person and I can be inspired by that person. But I don't compare myself to anybody, because I'm telling you, I've had 120 plus interviews on this podcast, and everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
Everybody's. To a person, there is no roadmap. You only, the only thing that you do is you learn from people around you, just like you learn by listening to the podcast and taking Natasha's course and meeting with your friend. You learn and absorb it all, be a sponge, but be you, because that's the key. You got to do you, and you've got to make sure that you keep that in the back of your mind. Comparison is the thief of joy, and it will also hold you back. I didn't say that. Somebody quoted that. Somebody much more famous than me. But I take no credit for it, only that I remembered it.
You spouted it at the proper time.
I did. But that's the key. The key is you can be inspired, but don't compare yourself, because that'll stop you in your tracks. So I love that piece of advice.
Thanks.
Love it. So listen, before we wrap up, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
You can find me on I'm not as active on Instagram as I used to be. You know, social media is just a real trap for me. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I hate it.
Uh-huh.
If you want to read a great book, Digital Minimalism, there are times where I'm like, maybe I could be the one voice actor who doesn't have social media accounts. I don't know. But I go in phases. I'm on Instagram, jessicavo.com. My website is jessicavo.com. I'm on Facebook, and most actively, I'm on LinkedIn right now. That's probably my most active social media platform.
Good place to be active.
Yeah, it's a good place. I like it.
Yeah, it's probably the best place to be active for sure. And I think we need to use that. I read a great article about how to make this phone that we carry around in us, this little computer, to don't let that direct your life, to make sure that you use that to help you, but don't have it control you. And I think the same is can be said for social media.
Yeah.
It can be a
challenge.
A brain suck, or you can use it as a means to engage with people on a social level and also to promote the work that you do. So as long as you do that, I think you'll be fine. Not you in personally, but
I understand.
In general. You know what I mean,
yes,
Jessica.
I do.
Let me give you some advice, Jessica.
Okay. I'm always open to advice.
Thank you. Thank you. So listen, it has been a pleasure to finally connect with you and have you on the podcast. And I really appreciate you sharing your journey with me and my listeners. And I wish you continued success on your journey.
Thanks, Mike. You too. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Mike Lenz VO podcast. Head on over to MikeLenzVOPodcast.com for links and recaps of each show. Catch you next time on the Mike Lenz VO podcast.